You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to Fix It and Flip It. The current real estate market is ripe for rehabbing. If you want to learn how to buy the right property at the right price and learn how to project and control costs, then you've come to the right place. Our host, Tony Raffin, is from the number one REMAX team in southeastern Michigan. And Kevin McClellan is Mr. Flipper Extraordinaire. Now, let's welcome Tony and Kevin. This is Fix It and Flip It.
Good morning, Tony.
We start this with a giggle and a laugh, and we're always all,
Yeah. If you've seen us 3 minutes before, we had a vent session on Wednesdays.
And then in the next room is Jim Brandstatter.
Yeah, Brandy, Michigan guy.
And I'm saying to myself, what's he doing? He's doing a podcast. And these are soundproof rooms. Anybody who's got us on video, they're padded rooms. They're insulated rooms. And this son of a bitch is loud.
Yeah, that voice. I can hear him through the headphones.
Yes, and he's just talking. It's like, oh, my God. And they're telling us to be quiet. It's dude.
Yeah, we were here first, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Your name is.
He's only on his third one. We're on like our 12th one.
Yeah, yeah. He'll never catch us.
Oh, so what's been going on, bud?
Just busy wrapping up some big projects, you know. Mm-hmm. Got three big projects going on. They're all converted. It always happens like that, like in anything in business and real estate. Everything kind of, you know, comes in
cyclical
big waves and everything seems to converge at the same time.
That's why everybody likes
and,
roller coasters.
Yeah?
They're great rides.
Is that like a psychological thing? That
I mean, it's weird. Maybe it's the rush of the adrenaline of doing the deal and completing it and being crazy. I mean, we had a...
You're gripping that mic hard today.
Right? Oh, yeah. I'm like, I'm squeezing this.
I'm over here relaxed.
Really. We sold our flip.
Congratulations. Yeah, you guys pulled a top dollar. Phenomenal.
Dude, record number for the sub.
Yeah, well, that sub it's weird. Like that street is just.
Multiple offers, people fighting over it, and still $25,000 over the highest thing that sold.
Right,
it's like,
right.
Dude, you guys, there's never a bad opportunity to go flip.
Yeah. You know what you're doing, though.
We did ride the wave, though. The property values were going up. Yeah. You know, now the junk houses in the area that you paid $125 for are going for $200
right.
because they think they can get $250, $260.
Well, that always happens when an investor comes in, a flipper comes in. I mean, it happens in a lot of neighborhoods that I do my houses. You know, you get $185,000 for a brick ranch, you know, in South St. Clair Shores, and now all of a sudden the neighbors think their house is worth $180,000.
Well, you know what's really funny is
it's not.
We never discussed this, but one of the things I was commenting to you is that you were creating your own market. Because you were buying in the same area, and as long as those comparables were good, like, you know, I remember you had one just around the block from that
Elizabeth.
Plus, not only Elizabeth, the other one on just south of 9 Mile Road, Newberry. You had Newberry. You got a record at Newberry. Yeah. You got a record at Elizabeth, and then you still
beat it with California.
Beat it with California and Westbury. You got record at 242.
Yeah,
so I mean,
yeah,
right. So I mean, you. People don't realize this. Anybody who does flips like this, you actually create your own market if you're doing enough flips.
Well, I mean, it's funny that you say that because I can also give you like an instance where I kind of made a mistake and it's going to cost me possibly. Mm-hmm. Is I just did one in West Bloomfield about 6 months ago.
Okay.
And long story short, we had to get two appraisals, even though it was conventional loan, but I won't get into that.
You flipped it too quick.
Yeah. I won't get into the weeds.
People need to know that this is a federal guideline. Yeah. If you have a property for less than 90 days.
180 days on a conventional.
On a conventional, it's got to be 180 days. On an FHA, it's got to be 90 days. You have to do two appraisals. Correct. So, and that's to give the
I'm sure some people comment there's some exceptions to that. I mean, but
there's
for the most part, that's how it is. Some lenders you can get away with it, but so to not get long-winded, in West Bloomfield, first appraisal, I have the house under contract at 313. First appraisal comes back at 319. Well, great.
Good.
Well, because of one guideline with this lender who I won't mention, who I'll never accept an offer from again, they said you need a second appraisal.
Okay.
Same company, a week later, 292.
That's 20.
Yeah.
That's over $20,000.
Yeah. So long story short, I got them to bring some money to the table. We ended up settling half. I cost myself some money in the long run. We ended up getting about 302. My point is, on paper, it still shows 292. And I just bought one 3 days ago, right around the corner.
Oh.
In the same subdivision, same similar house. I'm going to do it the same way. Well, guess what? You know, if I get that thing done quicker the next couple months and somebody pulls that comp,
you may have to wait till spring. Yeah,
313 to showing from 313, which it would have, to 292. You're talking a $21,000 difference.
As long as we're on an uptick in values, you can hold and it's not going to hurt you because you make up for it. I've had several people, you know, one of my guys that takes a year to flip a single family home.
Yeah.
He makes up, he gets an extra $20,000 in profit just because the value of the property goes up and doesn't have to do anything.
Well, in the last 3 to 4 years, anybody that slow played it and didn't move fast on properties and took their time, it actually worked to their advantage.
It worked to their advantage, correct.
Wait till we're going to hit a time where
there's
going to be a bit of a downslope, and every month that you take, or every quarter that you take to get the property done, is going to cost you 3% or 5%. Right. You know,
well, you talked to Paul Apostolakis over at Omega, and he just did a video on Facebook, an ad that said, look, we're back to a traditional market. We used to be, when the banks were unloading, normally what you'd have is a lull right around Labor Day.
Yeah.
Then you'd ramp up for about a month and a half or 2 months, and then you'd close out the year with everything you had. And then Christmas in January, it's when you went on vacation. Yeah. You went on vacation in January. And then February, the tax returns come out. People are getting ready. Let's start taking a look. And then you ramp up, and then you go to our spring is usually huge because they grab whatever comes first.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go straight through it again. So, I mean, we're back to that market.
Yeah.
Where the bank market was, we need to unload, we need to unload, we need to unload. And you were selling 50 houses in January. Well, right. At least I was, you know. Yeah. But I mean, 50 houses in a month. I mean, people don't do 50 houses in a year.
Yeah.
And we were just blowing through them. So, I mean.
I agree with Paul, who's great. Omega Lending, man. Those guys are great. Love him, yeah. Great guy too. But
it's funny, he called you. He was getting a new lender for
investor looking for it was new
last
loan.
Week you were out last week so we were talking about it because I listened to Fox News on Sirius XM and the commercials are different than what's on TV, and this one company, and I'll say it's no big deal, it's called Cash Call Mortgage. I don't think they're legal in Michigan, but they do mortgages for lender or for investors. So they'll loan you the money. They'll loan it to you fair. And once they have a relationship with you, it gets easier and easier and easier. And the rates are fair. They don't charge 3-4 points up on top and kill you and take most of your profit out of the flip. But the bigger the portfolio you have or the longer history you have, the better return on investment that they give you. And so we were talking about them, and Paul said, I got a lender. He goes, it's funny because I called Kevin.
Yeah.
So here's a lender calling you for your expertise on technically hard money. It's really not hard money, but in theory
it is.
It's hard money.
You're correct. Not going the traditional route through the bank.
Right. Whatnot, but the rates weren't that bad. And he said, you know, Kevin even thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was pretty fair. I remember the conversation. It was about a month ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was like, and he came to you. So how's that feel to be an expert in your
field? Wow. Listen, isn't that why we do what we do, and why you talk and you network and you meet people that are maybe not in the same exact business, but a one-off and in the same kind of circle?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure I'll have questions that I call Paul on, and likewise. And absolutely. I mean, I call you to bounce things off you. You call, bounce things off me. I mean, you just flipped a house, you know? I mean, we traded contractors, right?
Yeah, we traded
advice.
Contractors.
Advice. What should I do this first or that first? Right. You know, I mean, likewise.
We went overboard.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's okay. You grow the market.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to make some money on it. And
close. Not really a lot. It was.
I was trying to make you feel good.
Thanks.
Well, let's get down to the nitty gritty, because we're gonna have about a 30-minute program today. So,
well, let's get into a couple questions.
Yeah.
Here's where it comes. Back to basics.
Yeah. Back to basics, you know. About what the show is about, fixing and flipping, because so many people are interested in doing it. I get so many calls. Tony gets calls from investors, want to be investors, saying, find me a house. I want to flip. Me and my wife want to flip a house, you know. So we had some comments and questions come in through the Facebook page over the last 8 weeks. We just never got to. So one of the comments for Tony was, what are the pros and cons of working with investors/flippers? Because traditionally, you do a ton of business. You have hundreds of transactions a year.
Correct.
And normally, 80-90% of them are with a typical owner-occupant. Jim and Sally want to buy this house. Right. Here, you hold their hand, you walk them through it, get the deal done, right?
Yep.
So working with investors and flippers, whatever term you want to call it, is probably completely different, right? Or no? It's answer the question. What are the pros and cons of working with investors?
Well, the great thing about I used to tell my agents when it was an REO industry, when we were into the foreclosures, I says, grab you 10 investors that buy 10 houses a year and you just flipped 100 houses. And then they're going to give you the deal on the backside and you could have 200 houses. In theory. I mean, it's just in theory. But grab the investors because they will always buy through thick and thin. Mm-hmm. And I've always said that, and it's been simple. I mean, you and I have gone through probably 10 transactions, you know,
more than that, yeah.
More than that, whatever, yeah. But let's say 10 over the last 4 years, you're always good for a couple a year for me.
Sure.
And that's not even working hard at it. That's just when something comes up, we know who to call, we make the call, boom. So it works easier if you're calling one person instead of 30 people. And I'm not saying that I don't call the 30 people, but at the same time, when you let's say a good year is 100 homes for me, which is I always do more, but let's say 100, okay? And if I have to deal with 100 different people, right. So I look at it this way.
Different people, different personalities, right. Different financial situations, right. Lenders.
I so list a house. So yeah. I sell a house.
Yeah.
I sell to Kevin. Then what happens? Kevin fixes it, and I list the house, and I sell the house.
Maybe double dip it.
Maybe double dip it.
You've done that a ton of times. I've done it a ton.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I don't double dip, but if I do double dip it, sometimes I even get the sale from the other guy. So all of a sudden, I just turned a flip into 4 transactions or possibly 5. Yeah. And I'll give you an example. Was that one house that we had?
Ursuline,
yeah. And this is funny. So my neighbor calls me, who he trusts me, Bob, he's a great guy. He calls me and says, look, I got my mother-in-law passed away. We don't want to deal with it. The house is a mess. So he says, can you sell it? Yes. Boom. I bring a buyer to the table. I got the list. I got the sell. The buyer's ready to sell a year later. Guess what? I listed it. As soon as I was done, I sold it to another family friend. And what did I do for them? I listed their house. I didn't get the sale, but I listed it. And then they stayed there 6 months, didn't like the neighborhood. They wanted to move to Grosse Pointe. And I listed it again, and I sold it again, and I sold them another house. You're talking about
5-6 transactions over
9. I could have made a living 1 year just with that little transaction there.
Yeah.
So it makes things a little bit easier, yet at the same time, it's a little bit tougher because you got to find the deal.
Deals are hard. I mean, they're getting harder and harder to find.
But as they come around, if you've got somebody in play ready to go, it's no big deal. The other day, I listed a house in New Baltimore, and I told my wife about it 3 weeks before it was coming, and she's like, well, so-and-so needs a house just like that. We can't find one.
Yeah.
And we knew what top dollar was, brought them to the table. Listed it. An hour later, it was sold for top dollar. Both people were happy. I mean, everything worked out right.
How do you beat that hourly rate?
And then I still get to go sell him another condo that we're actually writing up as we speak. My secretary's writing it up right now. So, and he's an investor. So we go back through this over and over and over again. Dealing with the same people, as long as your personalities work good, I think is a very, very simple, simple fact. It works well. Here, I got something, Kev. This is probably a good question that came from you.
Yeah.
Why are times and markets different then than opposed to now?
Why are
the times now different and the markets different then as it opposed to now? Like back.
Oh, okay. So in terms of, I'm just trying to clarify what the
you wrote, viewer was asking. You transcribed it, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
but you get
Yeah, so the times are different now in terms of flipping and renovating is because, well, let's face it, some of them are just common knowledge. Like, there's just a lack of inventory. We all know it, that those flippable properties, there's just a lot less of them right now. Mainly is because of the big guys, Fannie, Freddie, HUD, so on and so forth. They had, I remember back 5 to 6, 7 years ago when I was looking to buy, and you know, I earned enough cash or flipped the house and wanted to go buy another rental property. You would go on the HUD Home Store and there'd be 70, 80 listings in one city, like call it East Point or Roseville. Now there is maybe one if you were to go on right now, or maybe.
And everybody's fighting for
and
it.
And maybe zero.
Right.
Same thing with the Fannie, the HomePath
Right.
Site. So that you had this big wave over the last 5 to 7 years of these TV shows, as stupid as it might sound. You had everybody watching these shows. They were the hot thing. You had millions of viewers. And because of that, you had thousands and tens of thousands of people that decided, hey, we want to try flipping a house. So if they all just pick out one or two of those houses of that pool that seasoned investors like me that do 20, 30 a year do, well, that hurts.
Yes. Right?
That's like a bunch of new agents getting in the market in a certain market in Macomb County that want to become realtors, and they all grab two or three houses a year. It's going to hurt you a little. I mean, it's going to put a ding in.
Well, you know what? No, it's really not, because it's funny you say that, because Paul said something about it last week. He goes, I don't control 100% of the market share right now.
No, but to think that all these new agents that have gotten in the market over the last couple of years, if you don't think that they've snagged a listing that you may have gotten.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's all I'm saying.
Yes,
if you don't agree with
correct.
That,
yeah.
Then we're going to fight outside.
No, yeah, no. But I don't really think it's that significant. But you're right. The newbie, the amateur.
The question was, and I'm just listing.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
You want to fight today?
No, not today.
Just because you dressed like me and we dressed alike doesn't mean that you got to act like me.
Do I got a V-neck too or no?
No, not
I
really.
I got that wrinkled collar like that guy on TV.
I use Downy fabric
softener.
My
point is that is – maybe that's a couple percent, you know, then it's the amount of properties that the banks are selling because they liquidated most of their inventory. And then it's how many people got in the game.
Yes.
The margins, the increase in price in labor, the increase in price of materials.
Mm-hmm. Everything's gone up tremendously.
All of these things have gone up tremendously,
yeah.
You know, so there's probably 4 to 5 different reasons why the times are different now. There were more properties available 5 years ago, less investors were in the game. And the banks had way more inventory.
It coming from the lower value prices, because you started on the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay.
2010.
You didn't start from a high point and then go down and then ride it up. I have some of my investors were buying, you know, 3-bedroom brick ranch rentals for $85,000 and $90,000, and then they rode the wave down, and then now they rode the wave back up, and they're okay again.
Yeah.
Once again, if you're renting it, it doesn't matter what it's worth. As long as you can get your rental dollar out of it, what the value of your portfolio is irrelevant unless you're selling or unless you're leveraging the portfolio.
Correct.
Okay. So it's really – that doesn't really make that much of a difference. I think the biggest thing is – your mentality, I need to buy this low, still doesn't see the mentality of you setting records everywhere you're buying.
Right.
You know, you would have never thought you'd have gotten the money you got out of California Street. Same thing with Englehart Street. You would have never thought that those numbers were even attainable. That's why you needed to buy at a lower number. And as you buy at the lower numbers and the spring market gets hot because nothing's out there, prices are shooting through the roof.
But so I'll tell you a funny story just to circle back to this California house we keep talking about, only because it's your basic brick ranch, 2-car garage, basement at St. Clair Shores is. I'll tell people I paid $100,000 even for it, right? Mm-hmm. I flipped it, put money into it, sold it for $185,000. There's money put in there. I didn't make that much money. I had a chance to buy the same house 2.5-3 years ago, and the guy wanted $70,000, and I wouldn't give it to him. I mean, that fits in perfectly to
but you understand where
a sign of the times and where values are.
I think you're still, at the end of the day, I think you're still a little gun-shy paying too much because you're concerned.
I wouldn't call it gun-shy. I would just call it being disciplined. I mean, because we don't hear about the investors that overpay for the properties and are one and done and lose $10,000 and never do it again. You don't hear about those guys. You know, name one of them. Name a guy that loses on 3 properties a year. You can't.
No, because they're not in it anymore.
You don't know those guys. They're not in it anymore. So the point is, I'm going to stay disciplined. And to all the viewers out there, know your numbers and stay disciplined. Don't reach for a project just because you want to flip a property. If you got to wait 2 months, wait 2 months.
Right.
It is not fun to buy a property, go through a complete renovation, deal with the city, deal with the contractors, have $100,000+ invested to break even or make a couple grand or lose $5,000.
So
that is not
going
fun.
Going back to where we were, why are the times different today than they were then? They're really not.
Well, they are in terms of finding properties. I don't care who you ask. You can ask investor right now. Mm-hmm. I mean,
because it's just harder to find the properties.
The properties for the reasons I just listed, inventory, more people in the game, the price you have to pay for it is higher. The initial investments, the total investment is higher. There are multiple reasons why it was a little easier to find and flip a property 5 years ago than it is now. You can still do it. You can still make money, but I'm having to expand my area and go to places and drive farther and have my guys drive farther now because you just go where the property is.
Got it.
There's just what here to wrap up the the answer is the biggest thing is 5 years ago, people would have a dilapidated house and they thought nobody wanted the house. They thought it'd be hard to sell. So they just called a cash buyer and they said, give me $50,000 for this
house. Yeah, the buy ugly houses. Yes. Billboard. Yeah. That's how it created a franchise.
That's fine.
For them.
Yeah. Right. And you know, it's a million. Yeah. So the people would call an investor and say, just give me $50,000 for this house. I don't think anybody's even going to want this thing. Now, realtors are getting hold of these people, mm-hmm. or they're just getting a little smarter and they're putting it on the market. And they're getting 70, 75 for that same house because people are willing to pay for it because of the times.
Right.
Because of how hot the market is, because of lenders lending now and more people back in the home buying process.
So you're just doing fewer deals.
Well, I'm still able to because the relationships that I have, I'm right. still able to. But I'm trying to answer the question of it's a lot harder for somebody newer to get in the game now and find a property to flip and make a decent return
right.
now than it was 5 years ago.
Got it.
For a whole host of reasons.
Okay.
Here's a good one. Hold on. What are you trying to do? Hold my hand?
Steal my pen. I don't have a pen.
We'll get one more each because then we got to wrap up the show because we got long-winded. You seem direct. Wow, this is a harsh question. This is an honest question from a viewer. You seem direct and opinionated with clients and investors. How come? I mean.
That's a really great question. And I
direct
think,
and opinionated.
I'm very direct because I'm not going to blow smoke up somebody's ass because if you do, it's only going to come back to hurt you and haunt you.
You're saying it might cause more headache for you down the future if you don't.
Yeah, because once again, I think we can go back to your last question because you said you're not going to really hurt because of the relationships you've built. If you've got the balls to tell somebody the truth, whether it hurts them or not, I think they appreciate that, especially buying something that's, you know, their biggest investment and not to forget even a typical owner occupant. I mean, even just an investor, you know, hey, look, man, you may have problems with this basement. You may have problems with these roof trusses. You may have problems with this waterproofing because the driveway's pitched the opposite way, you know? So you look at stuff like that and you've got to be able to tell them, you know, be careful what you do. I'm not going to tell you what you can't do, but it, you know, well, maybe I will, you know, and I've been told you, and you know it. I've told you how many times you ain't buying this one.
Right.
You know, and
I've called you about one of your listings. I'm sitting there. I see it come across on whatever listing book, Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Tony, this is his listing. It looks interesting. Why the hell didn't
he didn't call me?
Yeah, fucking call him really quick.
Right, right.
And before I can get the words out of my mouth, call me on this? You're like, yeah, it's not for you.
Right.
You're not buying it.
Yeah, that one on Forest. You know, there's a couple. And you're like, no, okay. Yeah. I mean, we're using examples, which we really don't have to, but it's all generic. But as long as you stay honest with people and you're straightforward and you know, and I know what you can handle. I mean, you can handle pretty much anything I throw at you.
You know if the numbers make sense or not.
Right.
You know, and that's where working with a realtor like you helps me.
Yeah,
because it vets a lot of the deals.
You don't need the fluff. You don't need the fluff. I think when you as you deal with investors, I think it makes it easier than dealing with an owner occupant.
But I mean, you're direct with your owner occupant clients.
I am. Yeah, I am. I tell them the way it is. They may not like it, but I've always found that being direct and blunt. And this is the way it is. Like when you
that
walk,
gets us, that gets us in trouble sometimes, doesn't it?
It does, and I've lost some listings for it. But
overall, I think it's more beneficial.
I think it's more beneficial, especially when they call you back and say, hey, can you sell this house for me now? Because the guy that I did give it to, because he blew smoke up my ass.
Yep.
You know,
he told me how beautiful it was and there was no foundation issue,
right.
this, that, and the other, and told us we can get $300,000 for it when you were right at $275 or $260. So we want to sell it now. We wasted enough time.
You wasted enough time. You took it off the market. And what's your carrying cost for carrying a property for an extra 6 months?
Now what time of year? Now you missed the selling season when I told you to put on the market at X price. So
a lot of people don't. You know, yesterday I went to a listing appointment. Yesterday I went 2 weeks ago. I told them, look, your place looks like shit. It's cluttered. I told them the place smells like dog.
Yeah.
Okay. Your windows are filthy. The place is cluttered. It does not look good. This is what we need to do. And they gave them 2 weekends. They called me back on Monday and they said, hey, what do you think? Can you do something here?
You came back, looked at it. Did they make some of the improvements?
Man, I walked in. As soon as I pulled up the house, I couldn't even tell it was the same house. I smiled and I'm like, and they saw me. They were standing at the door and saw me smile because I didn't see them, but they're looking at me and I'm like,
They felt proud. They improved their property. They took your advice. They didn't get offended. They took your advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good lesson to everybody out there that if you're thinking about listing your home, whether it's an investment property, because you've done it to some of my homes, this landscaping looks like shit.
Right.
I rip it out. You got to redo it. Spend $1,000. We'll get you 10 grand more for the house.
And we did.
I know.
And we did.
A lot of things we talk about go back to our past.
Yeah.
And properties that we've done.
I think it all comes around. And as long as you can stay straight with everybody and you can be honest with them, the honesty is the best policy, because you're not blowing smoke up somebody's. Look at it. It's overpriced. It's not happening. Right. It's not showing. I'm trying to explain it to you.
Let's shoot one more my way, and then we got to wrap up the show.
Okay.
Pick a good one.
This is a real good one.
Good one. Uh-oh.
Approximately how many houses have you flipped? Have you lost money on deals? If so, how come, and what were the factors? So how many houses have you flipped?
Oh, man, over 100. I'll just say over 100.
Okay. Have you ever lost money on a deal? And if so, why?
Never lost money on a deal. Maybe scratched out a few pennies on a couple. And that's just because of you're dealing with, in certain areas, 50, 60, 70, 80-year-old homes. Mm-hmm. And there's just no way to know what you get into once you start opening up walls.
Right.
I mean, plain and simple. You know, you open up the walls and you see like live wires and stuff there.
There's a lot of hidden things that you can't.
There's plenty of houses that we've done that we've opened up the walls and we're just shocked that the thing has not lit on fire over the last 30, 40 years.
True.
I mean, literally, I just did a house and I mean, a live 220 line that had power to it.
Just sitting
in between the walls, you know? So really it's the unforeseen, you know? Other than that, I think getting crushed on appraisals. I guess those would be the two things. I mean, if you know your acquisition price, you know your renovation price, and you know roughly what you can get on the back end.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that I've eked out a profit, like one I got going on now, it wasn't the biggest profit. It was because I took a $17,000 hit on the appraisal.
Right.
And we fought it in another appraisal.
But thank God you bought it where you did.
I bought it where I did. I'm going to make some money on it. You get your money back. You don't cry about it. You move on. You got other projects coming down the road.
Right.
So those are the two main things, is unforeseens, things that there's maybe no way of knowing, or maybe you overlook something.
Yep.
Maybe you didn't see that crack. Maybe you didn't see, you know, the problem with the chimney or the roof.
Right.
Or the bad furnace. But,
or the trusses.
Yeah, trusses, whatever.
Trusses are usually, people don't see those.
Yeah.
When they find a cracked truss. So.
Yep. That and getting crushed on appraisal, because if you renovate the house nicely and you're pulling top dollar like we talk about, if you're the highest number, if you're going to become the highest number in the area, it's hard unless you got some cash sale that has gone through or some conventional sale that's gone through.
Or your own sale from something
else.
So stay in the same areas.
Yeah, stay in the same area. So that's it.
All right, you guys. Sorry we had to cut the show short today.
Yeah, we had to do a short half-hour show today, but we'll be back next week.
And you can sign up on our webpage on Fix It and Flip It on Facebook, or you can find us on Google Play or iTunes or Stitcher, and look for us for Fix It and Flip It, the podcast, or on PodcastDetroit.com's website. And if you're looking to unload a property that you can't get rid of, it's a little stubborn thing, maybe somebody in the family passed away, you need to unload something, you don't want the headache, give Kevin a call at?
Call me at 586-855-4041. I'll make you a cash offer. If you know of a friend, family member, neighbor that's looking and they've said, hey, we're just done with it, we just want to sell to an investor, I can close the deal quickly, no inspection, no appraisal. Again, give me a call, 586-855-4041, or go to my cash, the number 4, Your House Now Facebook page, and check out what we're all about. And likewise, if you got that house that you identify that you want to buy and live in, the house that you have that you want to sell, or you're an investor that wants to work with a good realtor, give Tony and his team a call.
586-773-4400, or find us on our website, www.talktotony.com, TalkToTony.com, or inbox us at fixitandflipit.com.
Yeah.
If you got any more questions, we've got a few more. We're going to go over next week. And we also have a new guest next week, Scott Zemmons from he's an agent in our office, on our Warren office. He's one of our owners. And this guy is
turned a lot of properties.
Oh, my God. Man, wait till we hear some stories from this guy. He's an awesome guy, and he's also a fellow bourbon and whiskey drinker. So with that said, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening in.
Have a good week and weekend.
Please forward, share, like, and let everybody know about this podcast so we can get it out to as many people as we can. And we'd love to hear your comments and concerns on our site. Thanks again. Have a great day.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Fix It and Flip It with Tony Raffin and Kevin McClellan. Be sure to stop by our Facebook page, like it, and follow. And come back again next week so you can arm yourselves with the tools and strategies to become a successful real estate entrepreneur. This is Fix It and Flip It.